Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a historical review of Haiti, a journey through time. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 5, The Spark of Freedom. The Haitian Revolution begins. The rise of Toussaint Louverture. In the aftermath of the 1791 uprising, the rebellion matured into a formidable movement under the leadership of Toussaint Louverture, a former slave whose brilliance as a strategist and diplomat would define the Haitian Revolution. Louverture's vision extended beyond mere survival. He sought not only the emancipation of his people, but also the creation of a society built on equality, prosperity, and independence. Born into slavery on a plantation in Saint-Domingue, Toussaint's early years were shaped by his exposure to African and European influences. Educated and deeply religious, he drew on a mix of Enlightenment ideals and traditional values to inspire the enslaved population. By 1793, his reputation as a leader and tactician made him a central figure in the fight for freedom. The complex battleground. The rebellion took place against the backdrop of an international struggle for control over Saint-Domingue. France, now engulfed in its own revolution, faced threats from Britain and Spain, both of whom sought to capitalize on the chaos. Toussaint navigated this complex political landscape with remarkable skill, forming and breaking alliances as necessary to advance the cause of liberty. Initially, Toussaint aligned with the Spanish, who controlled the eastern part of Hispaniola. They provided him with weapons and support in his fight against the French. However, in 1794, when the French government abolished slavery in its colonies, Toussaint shifted his allegiance to France, recognizing that their revolutionary ideals aligned with his own goals. The battles for freedom. The fight for freedom was waged on multiple fronts. The rebels faced not only the French colonial forces, but also invading British and Spanish armies. Despite being outnumbered and outgunned, the revolutionary forces, led by Toussaint and other key figures such as Jean-Jacques Dessalines and Henri Christophe, used guerrilla tactics and their intimate knowledge of the terrain to devastating effect. The rebel army was a diverse coalition of enslaved people, Maroons, and free people of color. Toussaint emphasized discipline and organization, transforming the once disparate groups into a unified and effective force. His ability to inspire loyalty and instill a sense of purpose among his troops was instrumental in their victories. The abolition of slavery. In 1794, the French National Convention formally abolished slavery in all its territories, a decision that reshaped the dynamics of the revolution. For the enslaved population of Saint-Domingue, this was a monumental victory, but Toussaint understood that true freedom required more than a decree from a distant government. The colonial economy, built on sugar plantations and exploitation, remained a barrier to equality. Toussaint began implementing policies to rebuild the colony's economy, urging freed people to return to the plantations as paid laborers. This decision was controversial, as it echoed the very system they had fought to overthrow. Yet, Toussaint believed it was a necessary step toward stability and independence. Toussaint's vision for Saint-Domingue. Toussaint envisioned a society where Black and mixed-race citizens could live as equals, free from the tyranny of colonial rule. He worked tirelessly to establish order, restore agriculture, and improve living conditions. Under his leadership, Saint-Domingue began to emerge as a prosperous and self-sufficient territory. His governance, however, was not without challenges. Resistance from both within and outside his ranks tested his authority. The French, though outwardly supportive, remained wary of his growing power, while plantation owners resented the loss of their wealth and influence. International intrigue and betrayal. As the revolution progressed, Saint-Domingue's significance on the global stage became increasingly apparent. The colony's wealth and strategic location made it a coveted prize for European powers. Napoleon Bonaparte, who had risen to power in France, viewed Toussaint's autonomy with suspicion. In 1801, Toussaint declared himself Governor General for life and promulgated a constitution for Saint-Domingue that affirmed the abolition of slavery and established equal rights for all citizens. Napoleon, determined to reassert French control, dispatched a massive expeditionary force to Saint-Domingue in 1802 under the command of his brother-in-law, Charles Leclerc. The French invasion marked a turning point in the revolution, as Toussaint faced his most formidable challenge yet. The betrayal of Toussaint. Despite his efforts to negotiate with the French, Toussaint was betrayed. In 1802, under the guise of peace talks, he was captured and deported to France, where he was imprisoned in a cold, damp cell in the Jura Mountains. He died there in 1803, never to see the fruits of his labor. Toussaint's death was a devastating blow to the Revolution, but it did not extinguish the flames of freedom. His vision and leadership had laid the groundwork for the final phase of the struggle, which would be carried forward by his trusted lieutenants. The legacy of Toussaint Louverture. As the chapter concludes, Saint-Domingue is a land in turmoil, its people determined to continue the fight for independence. Toussaint's absence is keenly felt, but his legacy endures in the hearts of those who carry his dream forward. The island, once a bastion of exploitation, stands on the precipice of becoming a symbol of freedom. The final image is one of Toussaint, aboard the ship that takes him away from his homeland, staring at the horizon with a mixture of sorrow and resolve. His voice, steady and unwavering, echoes the words he once spoke. "In overthrowing me, you have cut down in Saint-Domingue only the trunk of the tree of liberty. It will spring up again by the roots, for they are numerous and deep." Chapter 6. Dessalines and the Birth of a Nation. The Void After Toussaint. The capture and deportation of Toussaint Louverture in 1802 left a void in the leadership of the Haitian Revolution. Yet his vision of a free Saint-Domingue lived on in the hearts of his lieutenants, most notably Jean-Jacques Dessalines, a fierce and relentless general who had served as one of Toussaint's closest allies. Unlike Toussaint, whose approach often blended diplomacy with warfare, Dessalines embodied the unyielding fury of a people determined to claim their freedom at any cost. As Napoleon's forces attempted to reassert control over the colony, Dessalines rose to prominence, leading the revolution into its decisive and most brutal phase. The French invasion and resistance. In 1802, Napoleon Bonaparte sent a massive expeditionary force under General Charles Leclerc to crush the rebellion and restore slavery in Saint-Domingue. The French underestimated the resilience and tactical brilliance of the revolutionaries. The mountainous terrain, the unrelenting tropical climate, and the outbreak of yellow fever devastated the French troops. Dessalines, now leading the resistance, proved a formidable adversary. His ruthless strategies, including scorched-earth tactics and guerrilla warfare, wreaked havoc on French forces. Dessalines understood the stakes of the conflict and was determined to eliminate any possibility of a return to the chains of enslavement. Dessalines takes command. Following Leclerc's death in late 1802, the French command passed to General Rochambeau, whose brutal tactics sought to terrorize the revolutionaries into submission. Rochambeau's use of torture, mass executions, and bloodhounds only fueled the resolve of the Haitian fighters. Dessalines responded in kind, leading his troops in a campaign of relentless assaults and reprisals. By 1803, Dessalines had unified the revolutionary forces, including Maroons, former enslaved people, and free people of color. Under his leadership, the army waged a final campaign against the French, culminating in the decisive Battle of Verdières on November 18, 1803. This historic victory not only marked the defeat of Napoleon's forces, but also sealed the fate of colonial rule in Saint-Domingue. The Declaration of Independence. On January 1, 1804, Dessalines proclaimed the independence of Saint-Domingue, renaming the territory Haiti in honor of its Taino heritage. Standing before a crowd in Gonaives, he declared Haiti a free and sovereign nation, the first Black republic in the world and the second independent nation in the Americas after the United States. In his proclamation, Dessalines vowed that Haiti would never again fall under the yoke of colonial oppression. His words, charged with defiance and pride, resonated not only across the island but throughout the world. "We have dared to be free. Let us be thus by ourselves and for ourselves." Dessalines as emperor. In 1804, Dessalines declared himself Emperor Jacques I of Haiti, a move that reflected his vision of unity and stability, but also his authoritarian approach to governance. As emperor, he sought to rebuild the nation from the ashes of war, redistributing land to former enslaved people and establishing a system of forced labor to restore agricultural production. Dessalines' reign was marked by his determination to ensure Haiti's independence at all costs. He ordered the extermination of remaining French settlers, an act that has been both condemned as a massacre and defended as a necessary measure to prevent the return of colonial domination. His policies, though controversial, were rooted in his unwavering commitment to the survival and sovereignty of Haiti. Challenges to unity. Despite his achievements, Dessalines faced significant challenges. The divisions within Haitian society, between Black Haitians and mixed-race elites, as well as between rural and urban populations, persisted. His authoritarian rule and harsh measures alienated many, including some of his closest allies. These internal conflicts culminated in Dessalines' assassination in 1806, just 2 years after Haiti's independence. His death plunged the nation into a period of political instability, with rival factions vying for power and the country eventually splitting into two separate states: the Kingdom of Haiti in the north and the Republic of Haiti in the south. The legacy of Dessalines. Though his reign was short-lived, Dessalines' impact on Haiti's history is profound. He remains a symbol of resilience, defiance, and the unyielding pursuit of freedom. His leadership in the final phase of the revolution and his role in establishing Haiti as an independent nation solidified his place as one of the most significant figures in the history of the Americas. As the chapter closes, the image of Dessalines emerges as a paradox, a ruthless warrior and a visionary leader, a figure who inspired fear and loyalty in equal measure. His legacy, like Haiti itself, is one of triumph and complexity, a testament to the strength and resilience of a people who dared to defy the greatest powers of their time. Chapter 7, A Nation Divided, Internal Struggles. The aftermath of independence. The dawn of 1804 marked a historic moment. The birth of Haiti as the first Black republic and a beacon of hope for oppressed people worldwide. However, the challenges of nation building soon overshadowed the euphoria of liberation. The scars of colonial rule ran deep, and divisions within the Haitian society, between the urban elite and rural majority, Black leaders and mixed-race elites, and war-torn communities, set the stage for a period of internal strife. Haiti, though free from foreign rule, was a nation deeply fractured. The dream of unity was tested almost immediately as leaders clashed over the future direction of the new republic. The splintering of leadership. Jean-Jacques Dessalines, now Emperor Jacques I, sought to unite the nation through strong, centralized authority. His vision was uncompromising. Haiti must remain independent, and its people must work together to rebuild. Yet his authoritarian methods alienated many, particularly the mixed-race elites, mulattoes, who had gained wealth and power during the colonial era. Dessalines' land redistribution policies, aimed at granting former enslaved people access to agricultural land, were seen as a threat by the wealthy elite. His harsh measures to suppress dissent, combined with the lingering resentment among different social groups, sowed seeds of discontent. Dessalines' assassination. In October 1806, Dessalines was assassinated in an ambush orchestrated by rival factions. His death plunged Haiti into political chaos, and the fragile unity he had worked to maintain shattered. Two of his former allies, Henri Christophe and Alexander Pétion, emerged as the main contenders for power, each with opposing visions for Haiti's future. The division of Haiti. The power struggle between Christophe and Pétion culminated in the division of Haiti into two separate states. In the north, Henri Christophe established the Kingdom of Haiti, a monarchy with a rigid social hierarchy. Christophe styled himself as King Henry I and sought to create a stable and prosperous nation through centralized control and the forced labor of his subjects. Despite his authoritarian rule, he oversaw the construction of significant infrastructure projects, including the Citadel La Ferrière, a massive fortress symbolizing Haiti's determination to resist foreign invasion. In the south, Alexander Pétion founded the Republic of Haiti, a republic with a more liberal and inclusive approach to governance. Pétion, a champion of the mixed-race elite, distributed land to his supporters and provided refuge to revolutionaries from across Latin America, including Simón Bolívar. However, his government struggled with economic challenges and political instability. A nation at odds. The division between the north and south reflected deeper societal fractures. Christophe's monarchy emphasized discipline, labor, and military readiness, while Pétion's republic focused on individual freedoms and economic experimentation. These contrasting approaches exacerbated tensions between the rural Black majority and the urban, mixed-race elite, further entrenching societal divisions. The rivalry between the two leaders also highlighted the broader challenges of post-revolutionary Haiti. The lack of a unified national identity, coupled with economic isolation and the lingering effects of colonial exploitation, made governance an arduous task. Christophe's downfall. Henri Christophe's reign came to a tragic end in 1820. Facing mounting opposition from his subjects and suffering from a debilitating stroke, Christoph took his own life. His death marked the end of the Kingdom of Haiti, and the northern and southern regions were reunited under the leadership of Jean-Pierre Boyer, Pétion's successor. The era of Boyer and the quest for stability. Boyer's presidency, which lasted from 1820 to 1843, brought a measure of stability to Haiti. He implemented policies to unify the country and rebuild its economy, though these often favored the urban elite. Boyer also led Haiti's expansion into the Spanish-controlled eastern part of the island, unifying Hispaniola under Haitian rule. Despite these efforts, Haiti remained burdened by economic isolation. The newly independent nation faced boycotts from European and American powers, who viewed Haiti's revolution as a threat to their own slave-dependent economies. In 1825, France recognized Haiti's independence, but at a devastating cost. A reparations payment of 150 million francs to compensate French slaveholders for their losses. This debt crippled Haiti's economy for decades, deepening inequality and stoking resentment among its people. The unfinished revolution. As the chapter concludes, Haiti stands as a nation divided, not just geographically, but socially and economically. The ideals of liberty and equality that fueled the revolution have yet to be fully realized. The legacy of slavery, the challenges of governance, and the burden of reparations weigh heavily on the fledgling republic. The final image is one of a Haitian farmer working tirelessly on a small plot of land, gazing at the distant mountains that had once sheltered the revolutionaries. The hope of freedom still burns in his heart, but the dream of a united and prosperous Haiti feels as elusive as ever. Chapter 8, Haiti's Global Impact, a symbol of freedom and resistance. The Haitian Revolution, culminating in Haiti's independence in 1804, sent shockwaves across the globe. It was a profound declaration that the ideals of liberty, equality, and fraternity were not confined to Europe or the United States. Haiti became the first nation to successfully overthrow a system of slavery and colonial oppression, inspiring oppressed people worldwide and striking fear into the hearts of colonial powers. Haiti's emergence as a free republic was a defiant rejection of the global order. It demonstrated that an enslaved population could rise up, fight for their freedom, and prevail against the might of empires. For the enslaved in the Americas, Haiti became a symbol of hope, a living testament to the possibility of liberation. The influence on other revolutions. The Haitian Revolution directly influenced revolutionary movements throughout the Americas. Leaders like Simón Bolívar, the liberator of South America, sought refuge and support in Haiti. Alexander Pétion provided Bolívar with weapons, soldiers, and critical resources to aid in his quest to liberate Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, and beyond. In return, Bolívar pledged to abolish slavery in the territories he liberated, a promise that reflected Haiti's unwavering stance against oppression. Haiti's example also inspired resistance among enslaved populations in the United States and the Caribbean. Slave revolts, such as Gabriel's Rebellion in Virginia, 1800, and Denmark Vesey's planned uprising in South Carolina, 1822, were fueled by news of Haiti's success. Though these revolts were suppressed, they highlighted the profound impact Haiti had on the collective imagination of the enslaved. Isolation and economic retaliation. While Haiti's revolution was a beacon of hope for the oppressed, it was a nightmare for colonial powers and slaveholding nations. The United States, Britain, and France viewed Haiti's independence as a dangerous precedent that could incite rebellion within their own territories. To prevent the spread of revolutionary fervor, these nations sought to isolate Haiti diplomatically and economically. The United States, despite its own revolutionary origins, refused to recognize Haiti's independence until 1862, fearing it would embolden enslaved people in the southern states. France, under Charles X, imposed a crippling reparations debt in 1825 as a condition for recognizing Haiti's sovereignty, demanding 150 million francs, later reduced to 90 million. This debt burdened Haiti's economy for more than a century, stifling development and perpetuating inequality. The struggle for recognition. Haiti's global impact was both a source of inspiration and a cause of isolation. As the first Black republic, it challenged the racial hierarchies that underpinned colonialism and slavery. Yet, this very defiance made Haiti a target for ostracism. Despite its isolation, Haiti remained steadfast in its commitment to supporting liberation movements and resisting oppression. In the mid-19th century, Haiti provided sanctuary to African Americans fleeing slavery in the United States. Leaders like Frederick Douglass, who later served as the U.S. Minister to Haiti, spoke of the nation's enduring significance as a symbol of Black sovereignty and resistance. Cultural contributions. Beyond its political impact, Haiti's cultural influence resonated across the world. Haitian Vodou, with its roots in African spirituality, became a powerful symbol of resilience and identity. The rhythms of Haitian music, the vibrant storytelling traditions, and the unique Creole language reflected the fusion of African, Taino, and European influences. Haitian literature also gained prominence, with writers like Jean Price-Mars and Jacques Remain exploring themes of identity, resistance, and the legacy of colonialism. These cultural contributions enriched the global understanding of Haiti as a nation shaped by struggle and triumph. The legacy of Haiti's independence. Haiti's revolution set a precedent that reverberated throughout the 19th and 20th centuries. It inspired abolitionist movements, civil rights campaigns, and anti-colonial struggles across Africa and the Caribbean. Leaders like Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana and Marcus Garvey, a Jamaican-born activist, often cited Haiti as a source of inspiration in their own quests for liberation. Haiti's global impact is a testament to its resilience and determination. Despite the economic and political challenges it faced, Haiti remained a symbol of defiance against oppression and a champion of human dignity. A world watching. As the chapter concludes, the world stands in awe of Haiti's audacity and resilience. Yet, the shadows of economic hardship and political isolation loom large. The struggle for recognition and equality continues, even as Haiti's legacy inspires new generations to fight for justice. The final image is of a Haitian child, sitting under the shade of a mango tree, listening intently to an elder recount the story of the revolution. The elder's voice rises with pride as they declare, "We were the first to stand, and though the world may try to forget, we will always remember."